Bible says, Haggai chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. I love this part. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Gail, what you got on your electronic Bible there? For who's talking there? I got Lord Almighty. Lord Almighty. Josh, what do you got? Lord of Hosts. I like that. Lord of Hosts. NIV. All righty. Okay. I think we should pay attention. Can I get a witness on that? Anywhere it says, this is what the Lord Almighty is talking about, I think we're supposed to pay attention. Give careful thought to your ways. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it also says that in verse 5. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I, who's talking? The Lord Almighty, the Lord of Hosts. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, you might underline that. I don't know if you can do that on your electronic Bible. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called, the Lord Almighty called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, on the labor of your hands. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we pray new beginnings, Lord. We pray the ability to line ourselves up on your purpose and your plan, that you would indeed glorify yourselves in us, Lord, that we could see a return for our effort, Lord, that you would be with us, guiding us and for us and aiding us, Lord. We give you praise that you indeed would be glorified in this place. That's it, all in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, it has been 3 weeks since I was up here. Actually, it's up here last Wednesday. But 3 Sundays I have been gone, and I'm a little excited to be back up here again. It does feel good. It has been because of the kitchen project, and the kitchen has been closed over the last 3 weeks. It's been so weird not having Aaron's grill, just leaving after church. And so today I want to let you know that the kitchen is open. Aaron's grill is open, that I hope you'll just come and hang out with God's people. But it has come at a great effort. It has come at a great sacrifice. But we had the inspection on Friday, and hallelujah. I'm going to leave that right up there. Maybe right there. Yeah, it was good. And you know, we gained great momentum on this project, you know. I was thinking about it, you know, with the plumbing run and with the tile and with the fees and with the licensing agencies, with all that stuff. You know, I began to try to remember all the stuff. It just began to fade away as new stuff began to happen. Isn't that good when the things of God, you know, become so momentous that the fresh ones, you know, they're just so fresh and so big, and you forget how fresh and big the other ones were. I'm keeping my prayer journal so I can and keep track on all that kind of stuff. And you know, I realized initially how overwhelming the project was going to be. I got a drafting board. You see it in there in the library. And I went down to the safety department guys down there in Kearney Mesa. And I just realized, man, you are over your head, man. And so I got an accountant, architect, and he wrote it all up, and he said, you guys give away all the food here? And I said, yeah. He goes, you know, I've never come across anybody who does this. You should go down there and see if they'll waive some of the fees. And I go down there, and yeah, they waived some. The $1,400 fee was $311. And she says, you know, I'm just going to come out and I'm just going to do the inspection. And the architect guy, you know, he's looking to get paid, and he says, hey, so where's the paperwork? I said, hey, she didn't need any of your drawings. And he says, what? And who are you talking to? Because they're lying to you. And I'm saying, no, man, look, I did what you said. I went and asked them if they waived some of the fees. They're waiving some of the fees. Don't mess it up. He says, I'm not going to mess it up. I just want to make sure. And he sends her an email, and she sends him an email back, and he says, I got no clue what they're doing. I've never seen this before. And the lady came out, you know, and the momentum is building on this project. And they're praying every day in here at 9 o'clock for the project. And I just knew, you know, this is going to work. This is going to be good. That lady, she came out. She was ready to pass our kitchen before she even showed up. Before she even showed up. And she says, and I got the hot dog cart out there. Mike had washed it. It's on the back of my truck on Friday. And I said, okay, I got something else I want to talk to you about. I said, we got this hot dog cart. And she goes, yeah, I saw that on the way in. I wonder what you want to do with that. And I showed it to her, and you got to go submit plans, and you got to do all this stuff with it, and architects and drawings and all this kind of stuff. And she looks at it, and she says, you know, you can go, or she said before, you go back to my office at 2 o'clock. Everything will be ready for you, and I might not be back yet, but they'll take care of it for you. And I show her the cart, and she says, oh, yeah, we could do this too. She says, come back at 2:30 because I'll be back there at 2:30. I won't be able to describe to them what I want them to do. I'll have to be there so I can carry your paperwork through. Because even she said, no one ever does stuff like this. And you know, talk about the momentum. It is as if, you know, you're just running with the wind at your back. I got a picture of a sailboat here, and you'll see the boat is moving, and the winds, the sails are just filled with wind, and they're moving. You see that the water just kind of crashing off on the side, and they're making great speed, and they're not really doing much. Now, when the wind is in your face, you can still kind of make progress, but you got to kind of eke out and go back and forth. And you see these guys, and you see those guys, the pictures of sailors, you know, and they're just leaning way back. It's because they're cutting into the wind, and they're trying to just carve out just a little bit ahead, a little bit ahead. Instead of just going, they got to do, and you can make progress, but it comes with great effort. I got a picture of the wind and the points of the sail, and there's just some places you can't go. This here is running with the wind. Running with the wind down here. Little button. Yeah, some place. Anyway, I can't figure. Down there, you're just running straight with the wind. Going against the wind, there's a no sailing zone. You can't get there. You can run on the edges, and you can do all this kind of stuff. And such is the difference with the wind at your back and the wind at your face. To make it real simple, there you go. Wind go, wind stop, right? And that is the difference because, see, the wind is always blowing. The Lord is there. The wind is always blowing. It is our choices that determine the direction. Amen? We're going to talk about that today. We're talking about a new beginning. And some of you, you look back at 2017, man, and you are running with the wind. Feels good. Now, I'm telling you, we were running with the wind. There was incredible effort. Mike said, you know, this job is too big, and he felt the prayers of the prayer team encouraging him, strengthening him on so that he would be able to continue that. And so, but in running with the wind, there is incredible effort, but the Lord is there. bringing assistance and aid. And many of you had that. Some of you not so much. You think about 2017 and the wind has been in your face. That you've made some progress, but man, you got to go back and forth. It seems that everything that you do, there's just so much effort and there's so little gain. We're going to talk about new beginnings. We're going to take a look at the book of Haggai. Wind in their face. They had started off well, but they had gotten off track. Lord said, all your effort, I blew it away. See, the wind is always there. The Lord is always close. But whether his breath is in your face or it is at your back is determined by your priorities and determined by your choices. Some of you, the last thing that you can imagine is repeating 2017. That's why I got this series, A New Beginning. The title of today's message is Running with the Wind. Let's take a look. We'll spend our time, Haggai chapter 1. And for these Jews, at this time of King Darius, the Lord was looking for a realignment of his people. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And in this realignment, God makes the first move. You're going to get a realignment in 2018. It's because God's going to make a move in your life. Now, you got a choice on how you're going to respond. You got a choice on what you're going to tell him about his plans. Now, the second year of King Darius, it gives us a date on Haggai's prophecies. 520 B.C., the message goes out to the governor and the high priest. They had left their lives in Babylon. They had stuff going on. They were the leaders. They had left all to become part of the great adventure. I have done that. I have left my life. I went to Bible college, took my wonderful young new wife down to Mexico, and we left all to follow the Lord, and we felt the wind at our backs. It is a glorious thing. Now, the Jews felt the wind at their backs. They built the altar. Offerings were reestablished and feasts and the priestly order and all that kind of stuff, but they ran into trouble. They ran into opposition from their old enemies. Enemies, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, that we are familiar with, the Samaritans, the Amorites, the Arabs, and the Philistines. They wanted to join in. Cyrus had given the approval. Cyrus was sending money. And they said, we'll be part of this project, but Zerubbabel and Joshua said, no, 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 we're not going that way. The enemies of God are not going to be involved in the construction of the place for his presence. And so because they could not be part of it, they did what they could to halt its progress. And where Cyrus, king of Persia, had ordered the project to begin, his son Cambyses II halted all work in Jerusalem. So we come to the second year of King Darius, a new king. And the message of the Lord comes to his people, time to change course. You were once on track with me. It is time to again change course. God guides his people into a closer walk with him. He says it is time to reconnect. Perhaps the Lord would speak to you about reconnecting with him in 2018. You know, that reckless, abandoned life, that I'll dare everything for you, God, because I tell you what, you dare everything for God. I'll take that. And you are connecting with the King. Amen? It's not such a big risk, but it's scary as all get out. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Read verses 2 through 4. This is what? Who says? The Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? God says it's time to get back on track. It is time to evaluate your priorities. The project had been closed down for almost 20 years. Started with the altar, sacrifices going up, people of God, we're having our feast, we got our priest, all's going on. All going right, all going good. People of God in the place of God, doing the things of God, with one problem. There was no place for the presence of God. Time had not yet come. You need to see that. Time's not come. Build the Lord's house. 18 years. Time's not come to build the Lord's house. Well, what should we do, Marge? Well, why don't we polish up our houses? Oh, I'm sure the Lord would be blessed with that. He doesn't want us living in squalor. Oh, no. Let's get to work, and we'll build our houses, and that'll bless the Lord. But the issue is the Lord did not call them to Jerusalem to build their house. From Ezra chapter 1, verse 2, this is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and has appointed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem, in Judah. God's saying, we got a problem here. You came to build my house, and you have run into a little opposition, so you started building your own houses. He says your choices will determine your direction, your priorities. Determine the wealth. Determine the return of your labor. You know, we started that project, and Mike and I are old. Can you get a witness on that, Mike? We have aged much in 3 weeks. But we are wise. Right, Mike? And we started off and we said, we are going to need some help. And because we had started at Thanksgiving time, doing a little this, a little of that. I said, no way. And so I contacted my son. I said, Joe, I need your help. And he said, Dad, I got stuff going on. He's building his life. And his mom don't want to hear this, but he's building a life in Orange County. I said, Joe, I need you. This is we can't do this. We need your help. And after finals, rather than doing all the stuff he had set up for his Christmas break, he came down and he spent 2.5 weeks. And what he did was he put all of his plans and all of his priorities on hold so that he could come down and help us with our project. You know what? I'll do anything for that. Can I get a witness on that? You know how proud I am of him? how blessed I was by him? God, when you put your priorities on hold and place his priorities as preeminent in your life, he is blessed and he is pleased with you. You see, the wind's always blowing. God brings the wind. It's our choices that determine whether or not that wind is in your face or that wind is at your back. That make sense? All right, let's keep going. Man, I kind of like preaching. You know, I kind of like that. Been 3 weeks. Yeah. All right. All right, he says, you got to think about what is most important to you. Verses 5 and 6. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Maybe remember the song by Aretha Franklin. You better think about what you're trying to do. That was in my notes. That just came up right there. Give careful thoughts to your ways. You've planted much, but you harvested little. You ever felt that? Said that you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never get your full. I know there's some people that have put on clothes and you can't get warm. And I know this will hit many of you. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Can I get a witness on that? See, our position is a display of our priorities. People are working hard. Things aren't working out. Things aren't paying off. Wind is in their face. Lots of effort. Reminds me of the curse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. To Adam, he said, because of what? Adam's priorities. You listened to your wife. You ate the fruit. You did what you weren't supposed to do. You didn't put me top. You found something else that was top. Because of you, the ground is cursed. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. He says, Adam, the wind is now in your face. You can make some progress, but it's not running for the wind. It is cutting back and forth, just trying to make a little slice. Israelites are working hard. Pointed in the wrong direction. Wind is in their face. Jesus says, you know, you gotta set your course. He says, man, you gotta spend all your time running after all this stuff. He says, change course. Change your priorities. Make some better choices. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this other stuff be added unto you. He says, you put the kingdom of God first, you're going to be living with the wind at your back, making great progress. See, he says, the Israelites, they're living with a problem with poverty. Every area of your life. He says, I'm against you. The Lord provides the wind. Our choices determine the direction. Verses 7 and 8, we open with this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Think about your choices. It says, go up and get some lumber. And I have to ask the question, what happened to all the rest of the lumber? Because they had lumber. We read back about that in Ezra chapter 3, verse 7. So they gave money, $14 million they had in current value of all the stuff that they gave. I added it up. And they gave money to masons and carpenters and food and drink and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrians to bring, what's that say? Cedar trees. Now, you might not be able to put that together, but cedar trees make lumber. Cedar trees make timber, right? He says, we give them money and all this stuff to bring trees from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa according to the grant that they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. And he says, go up into the mountains and get some timber, but what happened to the old timber? It is in their houses. Because they're living in what? Paneled houses. Paneled with cedar. And God says, you got to go back up and get more timber. They were stealing from God's house to build their houses. And as a result, they are living with the wind of God in their face. Robbing from God. Who would ever do that? Well, the Bible says that we rob from God. How? In tithes and offerings. Oh, man, I can't afford to give no 10% to God. He ain't going to miss it. He ain't even going to know. Well, you got to ask yourself, where's the wind been in 2017, 2016, 2015? I'll tell you what. I can tell who's got the wind at their back. You look around. Who's got the wind at their back? And who is living with the wind in their face? You want to change direction? It might be something as simple as a tithe. That's it? One? Praise God? Like, whoa, these people are going, that's why I got chap-lipped all the time. I just been buying chapstick. You get that wind at your back, guess what? No more chap-lipped. That wasn't in my notes either, but God provides the wind. Your choices determine the direction. God says he's looking for a house where he can be honored. God is looking for a people who would put a priority on him, a priority on his So you can join him in the grand adventure. Cast everything off and run before the wind. It will take you from building your own house, but it puts you in front of the wind. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm trembling. You know, I asked Joe, come on down and help us with this project. Man, I'm getting emotional. And, you know, he's, Dad, I got stuff. And many of you know, some of you don't, most of you do, or many of you do. He got a real estate license last May. And he spent all summer with great dreams and great expectations of real estate commissions on million-dollar homes. And he sat at open houses. There you go. And wasted his time. He was so disappointed at the end of summer that I don't want to do real estate anymore. And he was got an internship, and it was these guys that would take a property that was not that needed to be developed, maybe inheritance stuff and things like that. And it's kind of like you hear those guys saying, you know, we'll remodel your house, do a roof, and then when you sell it, we'll make the money. Well, these guys would take and put a hotel up or all that kind of stuff. And a brand new company, and Joe's going, Dad, this is it. My teachers are saying this is great. My mentor is saying this is great. And he begins a mentoring thing with this guy named Ryan, and the whole fall he's doing this as an internship, and he makes I said, Joe, you got to start thinking about May, man. You can't eat nothing. You can't live on promises. Oh, Dad, you just got to start. Hey, man, you got to land someplace in May. Okay, Dad. Now he's going to do this internship over Christmas. I said, Joe, there ain't nothing going on at Christmas, man. Okay. I'm trying to convey this to you now. He's up here and he's getting ready to go back. So he's been here for 2 weeks. He's here for like 2 weeks and 3 days. And he says, Dad, I got a response on one of my emails for my new internship. Cool, yeah. And I talked to a man. I was fumbling over myself, but I hooked him up with my bosses and all that kind of stuff. I go, yeah, you make any money on that, Joe? And he goes, why? I get 10% of anything that they make. He says that the guy goes to meet with Ryan, his boss, and he has 5 acres of vacant land in downtown San Juan Capistrano. He says he wants to put a hotel there, or 120 houses, or a big old seniors living thing. This is 2 weeks after he left his priorities and realigned, put God's house first. Amen. He calls me back earlier this week. Dad, I got another hit. He's got no hits in 8 months. I called him this morning. I said, okay, Joe, I want to get the timing on all this stuff. He's asleep. I go, so the second hit, did you find out what he's got? He goes, yeah, it's just a single lot house. Beachfront view in Laguna Niguel. I share that with you to try to describe the difference between living with the wind in your face or living with the wind at your back. The Lord provides the wind. Your choices determine the direction. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you. God is not blessed by the selfish. God is not blessed by the self-focused. Verses 9 through 11. You expected much. You know, we began to anticipate the hand of God in this program, in this project, but we didn't expect anything. You expected much, but it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. God's hand is against his people, is against the Jews. They had high expectations. They were living with high hopes. They were the people of God, and they had left everything to follow him. But with all their efforts, there was no return, because along the way, they had gotten off track. God's hand was against them. His wind was in their face. All their efforts, God blew away. Reminds me of Gamaliel, Acts chapter 5, where the chief priests and the Sanhedrin are doing all that they can to close down the disciples of Jesus as they are bringing the message. And he says, watch out. You better think about what you're trying to do. You better consider your ways, he says. He says, if this is from God, Acts chapter 5, verse 39, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. These guys were the priests. They firmly assumed that they were in God's corner. And I share that with you because as I read about that in Acts chapter 5, and I read about it in Haggai chapter 1, that God's people can find themselves in conflict with God. And when that happens, you'll find the wind is in your face. Their problem, the priest's problem, the problem of the Jews at the time of Haggai was their priorities. They had put their houses before God's house. They had put their lives, their interests, before the interests of God. And so I ask you this morning, 2017, what were your priorities? Because perhaps there was once a time in which you had left all and joined the great adventure and cast all restraint, reckless abandon, following the things of God, but maybe it wasn't in 2017. Perhaps you begin to see the things of God that can serve you. A lot of things of God around here. As Josh said, them freezers are full. They're heavy. You need to unload God's freezer a little bit and take it to my house. God blowing wind in your sails or in your face. See, He's always providing wind. Your choices determine the direction. Last thing I got for you, end of chapter 1. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai because the Lord their God had sent Haggai. And the people feared the Lord. And then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people, "I am with you," declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month of the second year of King Darius. God says, I'm close. Gives them a problem. I'm a promise, I am with you. He's not saying he's for them. Up until this time, he had been with them, but his wind had been in their face. His hand had been against them. He was close. Writer of Psalm says, where shall I go from your spirit? Where can you go from God? Where is God not close? God is everywhere. God is in this room. Where can I go from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to Sheol, you are there. If I go to the bottom of the ocean, you're there. Where can I go? Where is God? God is always close. His wind is always there. Your choices determine the direction of that wind. In your sails or in your face. They realize the plan of God, the purpose of God, and the presence of God is not something to be trifled with. And they all join arms. Peter talks about it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. Let the judgment start right here. We need to get our lives lined up. We need to rearrange our priorities. Because what? Because God has the opportunity to turn everything upside down. He also has the opportunity to make everything right. And if we want to get things right, if we want the winds at our backs, we need to put a focus on the purpose and the place of God. Lisa, you want to come up and play? These guys had started off well, wind at their backs, and had gotten off track. Many of you here today, if you could replicate 2017, you would say, in a heartbeat, God has been so good to me. God has been so good to my family. I have felt His wind in my sails. You know, I have felt the wind of the Lord in my sails for 25 years. But I am telling you, this project over the last month, it has astounded me. The presence, direction, and provision of God. I pray each of you could experience that in 2018. Ask Mike about the prayer. I mean, Lisa's worried that he's going to stroke out. I kid you not. You saw him, he was looking pretty rough. But he's saying, man, it's the prayer that's keeping me going. I mean, there's days we worked harder. I don't know that I've ever worked.
Wow.
You know, I thank Taylor and Josh and Dana and Gazzy, Rocky, Paul, so many of you that helped. And you know, you take your priorities and you set them aside and you begin to lift up God's priorities. And man, you feel that wind. You know, God's house looking pretty good. It's just me. I'm proud of this place. But you know what? There's opportunity. This is a place in which sacrifice happens, in which worship happens, and in which many of you can lay aside your priorities. Saying, you know what, God, I'm ready to join you in the grand adventure. I'm going to put away building my house for a minute. You know, God don't care if you got a house. God doesn't care if you got a great house. God will help you build your house. But you got to help Him build His. And it might not be wood. It might be teaching kids. It might be reaching the people that are around you. There's people around you that are dying, headed to hell. You got an opportunity, but you're just too scared. Can I get a witness? Lord says, oh, really? He says, see, your priorities are all messed up. You're building your own house. You're not building my house anymore. You call me Savior. And when that shift of course and when that shift of priorities happens in the life of a believer, He always steps in. Every time the wind will be at your face. Why? Because you cannot lose sight of the trinkets of the kingdom. You can't put your focus on them and lose sight of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for you. And so as that happens, you begin to look at the things and the trinkets of the kingdom. He says, never lose sight of your Savior.
Hallelujah.
Never lose sight of what is most important. And perhaps in 2006, you love the Lord, but there's been, there is a need for reorganization in your life. You're saying, oh, Lord, I got chapped lips. I got wind in my face. He says, consider your ways. Consider the wind. Because if it's in your face, Jesus says, put first the kingdom of God. Wind will shift. Life will be better. Lord, I thank You that You are so good. Lord, I thank You for my son. Lord, I thank You for the testimony that You put forth in his life. Lord, I thank You for this church, Lord. Lord, I thank You for chapped lips, Lord, that they're going to pass away, Lord. Lord, I thank You for wind at our backs, sails full, running with the wind, Lord, running with You, Lord. finding our fullness, the joy that comes from bringing pleasure to you and glory to you, Lord. I pray each person here, Lord. I pray each person here, Lord, that 2018 is a year of glory, is a year of bringing pleasure to the Lord, and is a year filled with wind at our back. I give you praise, Lord. You know, we're going to sing, and I invite you to just come up here and kneel. I know the Lord is speaking to a lot of people, and I have not sensed the presence of the Spirit up here in a long time. I just sense the Spirit speaking to hearts. I pray as we begin to sing this song, I'm going to put it up here, that you hurry right up here to the altar and say, Lord, kingdom of God comes first, Lord. I want your wind at my back, Lord. I want to make bright choices. I want to put my priorities aside, Lord. I want to line up on you. I want to be transformed. I want to experience the grand adventure, Lord. I don't want to wait anymore. I want 18 to be my year, Lord. I want 18 to be my year to serve you, to put a focus on you. That's you this morning. We're all going to stand. We're going to sing that. And I want you to just come right up here. I want you to just kneel. I want to pray with you. And we're just going to sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move out of your seat right now. Just move quickly. Come right up here to the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise unbroken.